You can pick up a copy of Tommy James' CD, Hold the Fire, at Doug's Holiday Store at DougStuffin.com. Be sure to listen tomorrow for part two.
Here's a song that Billy Idol stole, and I'm stealing it back.
Right.
Tommy James.
Right. Here she comes down, saying, morning, morning. Well, shoot 'em down, turn around, come home, hold it. Hey, you give me love, and I feel all right now.
Fact, Roberta,
yeah.
The music
yeah.
of Tommy James is played every day in every country in the world and has been for, what, 25, 30?
You must love that mailbox.
35, yes, right, all the residuals coming. His songs have become so ingrained in our culture, it is impossible, if you listen to the radio or if you even television films, a lot of these songs have appeared in any number of realities, and there are 300-plus cover versions of his songs by other artists. He has, though, individually with his group, sold to date 100 million records. He's been awarded 23 gold singles, 9 gold and platinum albums. During the late 60s, Tommy James and the Shondells sold more singles than any other artist in the world, including the Beatles.
Oh, man.
That is some kind of testimony to what people think of Tommy James and his music. Tommy, welcome to Good Day.
Well, thank you. Thanks for the nice build-up.
You get goosebumps after a... Can you pinch yourself every once in a while? Is this my story or not? All right, so how does young Tommy James bring us back to those exciting days of yesteryear, when you were a young whippersnapper, playing the guitar, doing whatever. How did you get introduced to the world of pop music?
Well, you know, I was given a ukulele by my grandfather when I was 3 years old.
Good for you.
And, you know, I just began learning everything I could from the radio. Mm-hmm. And finally, when I was 9 years old in 1956, I talked my mom into buying me a guitar. And that was an acoustic, and this is just when I saw Elvis on TV, you know, for the first time. There was no more ukulele. That baby was gone. And I started, you know, learning from Gene Vincent and Buddy Holly and guys like that.
Oh, yeah.
And when I was 12 years old, I started my first band.
Really?
Yeah. And we played at the 7th grade variety show in my junior high school. And that was the beginning of the band. We kept it. We got such a great response that we kept the band together and started playing local sock hops and stuff in my hometown of Niles, Michigan. And I'm a bit long-winded on this, but I'm trying to give you the short.
No, I want to know. I want to hear the story. People want to hear the story. Tell the story.
Yeah, and then I got a job in a local record shop after school where I could run the band and sell records and everything, and got to know the business. And had my group all through high school, and when I was 16 years old, I was approached by local disc jockey who was starting a label, and asked me if I wanted to make records for Snap Records. And
Snap?
I said, yeah, man. And one of the four sides we did was Hanky Panky.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and
yeah.
This was in early 64, and so, you know, we put out the record locally, and it was number one in about 6 blocks,
yeah.
And then it died. And so in 65, I graduated and took my band on the road and came home a year later in early 66 and got the news that one copy of this record, Hanky Panky, had ended up in Pittsburgh and was picked up by a DJ, and they played. This is one of those, like, you know, only happen in America stories.
Yep.
And but we were sitting at number one. They bootlegged 80,000 of them and sold them in 10 days.
Oh, wow.
And we were sitting at number one, but only in the city of Pittsburgh.
Uh-huh.
So they asked me if I'd come and do some shows. I couldn't put the original band back together, so I went and did some TV and radio. And 2 weeks later, we signed with Roulette Records in New York. Mm-hmm. And, brother, that was the beginning.
Yep. And you were at what, the ripe old age, about 19 then, right?
I was. I had just turned 19. I was actually 18 when the record started. But
did you have any formal music training at all anywhere?
Well, no, that would have ruined everything.
I think it's the way with a lot of musicians.
Yeah. Well, you know, the funny part is I had always wanted to do this. You know, all I ever wanted to be was one of those rock and roll guys, you know. That's all I ever wanted to do. So the good Lord gave me my wish.
So you grew up in the same era that I did, and you were listening
You're
to the same
old.
People. Yes, I am. I am that old.
No, he's
thing.
Older. He pretends to be younger.
The thing about what you've just described, though, really tickles me, because as a kid growing up, I didn't have any musical aspirations, but I loved being on the radio.
Sure.
That is, I was playing radio while you were playing music, listening to the stuff on the radio. You were playing the musicians. I was playing the announcer.
Sure.
I was playing the disc jockey.
Well, listen, we still got the same gigs.
Yeah, exactly right. The same stuff is going on. And you think back to some of the things that motivated us. Like you, when you moved to New York, apparently had an apartment here in Manhattan. I happen to be in New York today. Uh-huh. And your apartment was across from the Mutual of New York Insurance Company building, whose logo, Moni, M-O-N-Y, became the basis for the song just heard.
Well, you know, that's perfect. Another one of those stories. It sounds like it was made up by a press agent, but that was actually the truth.
Mm-hmm.
This building had been looking me in the face for years, and, you know, I just, for some reason, you know, we had, when we were doing Moni, we had this track and no title.
Yeah.
And my songwriting partner and I were, you know, really having a fit coming up with a two-syllable, looking for a Sloopy or some kind of crazy
mm-hmm.
name.
Yeah.
And
Sloopy had already been taken.
Yeah. Richie Cordell walked up out of my terrace and looked up and see Mutual of New York, and we just started to laugh because if we'd have been looking the other direction, we would have been called Howard Johnson's.
My favorite Tommy James song. Yeah.
Love this.
Yeah. Quiet, Richie. Not spoiling.
Do your job. Be the DJ.
GJ?
Hit the post, Doug.
Hit the post. Look out for the post. Here it comes.
Making a living the old hard way. Taking and giving my day by day. I did snow and rain and a bright sunshine.
All together now, Tommy.
Dragon the line. If you're just joining us, Tommy James is here, one of the most prolific songwriters, sold more records than anybody in the late 80s, including the Beatles with the Shondells, has been part of American pop culture for generations. He's here. We're talking about a couple of different things. And I said earlier that I wanted you to tell the story of how you didn't and why you didn't, you dummy. Go to Woodstock. What was the problem?
Well, you know, it's funny because in many ways we've gotten more mileage out of the story of why we didn't go. But what happened was the week of Woodstock, we were in Hawaii. And we were at the foot of Diamond Head. And before they had high-rises right there, they had some really beautiful mansions that they would put you up in if you were entertaining over there.
Right.
And so, you know, our biggest decision of the day was to whether have our pina colada in the pool or on the sun terrace, you know what I mean? So I get a call from Joanne, my secretary in New York at Roulette, and she says to me, listen, your lawyer, I had the same lawyer as Artie Kornfeld, who was one of the producers, and he and I were friends. He was one of the producers of the show, and he did the Cow Sills, and we knew each other. So long story short, they had come up and asked Joanne if I would come to do Woodstock. And Woodstock, the way it was put to me, was he said, well, listen, they're going to have a big gig up on this pig farm in upstate New York, and they really like you to be there. I said, wait a minute. You're asking me to fly 6,000 miles, leave paradise to play a pig farm? And she said, well, I guess you could put it that way. There's going to be a lot of... I said, forget it. I said, listen, if they start without us, that's fine.
I don't hardly know her, but I think I could love her. Crimson.
It's not voice.
I love the guitar on this one.
Mm-hmm.
With the wah.
Tommy James is here with us on Good Day. I'm Doug Steffen, along with Rich McFadden in our studio in Washington. Roberta Pasinelli is here in New York with me. Ken Kessler in our studio in San Diego. Tommy James, I'm seeing him. I'm looking over the high rises down to the New Jersey shore. There's Tommy down there. So this song has an interesting story. You were friends with Vice President Hubert Humphrey.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about him and why you liked him and why it was that there was an affinity for the two.
Well, you know, 68 was such a tumultuous year, and so many things were going on, both in politics and the record business and in the radio business. And it was just one of those amazing years where it was like the perfect storm. And so that year we were asked by Hubert Humphrey to come out and campaign with him.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it.
Had you been political at all before anybody
knew
you? Well,
I had done a couple of rallies with and for Robert Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
And we were asked, actually, to be in L.A. that night, unfortunately. And we, of all places, were in Dallas, Texas that night at a place called the World Teen Fair, and we couldn't go.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when he was killed, I just went into a real funk for about a month, and I just, you know, that's just the way I felt.
Have you seen the movie?
No, I haven't.
Bobby?
No, I haven't. But at any rate, we got called shortly thereafter by Hubert Humphrey's office and asked if we would perform with the vice president, and we said sure, and we met him on the road and actually went all over the United States with him, and he ended up writing the liner notes for our Crimson and Clover album.
Now, who would think that a guy who appeared to be almost a stuffed shirt, like Hubert Humphrey,
yeah,
would dig Tommy James in Crimson and Clover and write the liner notes?
Well, he and I became pretty good friends, and honestly, I got to tell you, he was a real sweetheart, and he just... You know, he asked me at one point if I would consider being president's advisor on youth affairs. I'm all 21, and I'm going, believe me, the youth are having affairs.
Yeah.
I'm just the guy to look into.
Bada,
bada, boom. How old was he at the time?
Pardon me?
How old was he at the time?
Oh, boy, 50s. I think he was roughly 60.
Yeah, he would have been
and
that
And you age. Were 21.
I was 21,
wow.
Yeah. And but the thing of it was... He just loved people, and he was one of the rare breed of politician who really was a people guy.
So, what does your family think of all of this? Tell me about your family.
Sure.
As you grew up. Let's spend a minute on your family.
Well, of course, I came from a very small family. Actually, I didn't have any brothers or sisters. It was just me, mom, and dad. My dad was in the hotel business, and was in several cities when I was growing up, but mom was a legal secretary and a stockbroker, actually.
Yeah.
And long story short, when, you know, she was always encouraged me, both of them encouraged me to do music, and neither one of them were particularly musical, although my grandmother, you know, was a choir teacher, and that's where the music came from. But
mm-hmm.
Long story short, my folks always encouraged me, and I don't have them anymore, but I love them to death.
What about wife, children, that sort of thing?
Yes, I'm married. My wife's name is Linda. I have one son, Brian. He is he's a little bit of everything. He's a musician. He's an engineer by trade.
What does he think of his dad's success?
Well, you know, he and I actually, he helps design my website and does all kinds of things that I can't do, and he's really terrific.
All right, so, by the way, there's a connection. If you go to DougSteffen.com, we've connected to TommyJames.com, so you can get the connection to all this great music and what's going on, how he's touring still, which is kind of a kick, I'm sure, for him. More Tommy James coming up here on Good Day.
You can pick up a copy of Tommy James' CD, Hold the Fire, at Doug's Holiday Store at DougSteffen.com. Be sure to listen tomorrow for part 2.